and turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Did you hear about the school teacher that was cross-eyed? She couldn't control her pupils. Sister Jessica get cross-eyed because she can't control her pupils at times. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, when you find that text, would you please stand to honor the reading of God's holy word? 1 Samuel chapter 17, earlier this week, this message that God gave me years ago kept coming to my mind and couldn't get away from it. And the preacher's always praying, asking God to direct his heart and what he would have him preach. And this thought just kept ringing in my spirit. And so we want to be obedient to the Lord and preach it. There's nothing wrong with preaching messages over and over again if God directs you to do so. I remember one time God gave me a message on disappointment. And it was a good message. And the Lord used it in many different churches. And it just so happened that I preached it one day at this church, and I was invited to preach at a revival meeting. I preached it at that meeting. The next night, I was at another church. I preached it, that same message, in that meeting. And then at the close of the meeting, they were wanting me to close out. And my boys and my wife asked me, said, "Are you going to preach that message again?" And they said, "We could preach it by now. Amen. We've heard it so many times." But nothing wrong with preaching messages over and over as God directs. God's got a reason for me preaching this morning, and I pray that with ears to hear, that you would listen this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17, a very familiar text with every one of us. It's David facing off with the giant. There's many messages many different thoughts that I have personally out of this one chapter. It's one of those chapters that is heavily marked in my Bible. Spend much time in a passage like this because there's so much truth relevant for every child of God to glean from. And it begins with a word. It says now. Now. That word's important. Now. We're in the now. And it says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." And by the way, there's only two sides. You're either on God's side or you're on the enemy's side. You're on one mountain or the other. There's no in between. "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." His name means revolution, a revolting. "And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his leg and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, 'Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Not I, Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, Then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Would you look over in verse number 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. I want to take these verses this morning and develop a thought into your hearts this morning about being more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Being more than a conqueror. Brother Nathan Densmore, you pray for us this morning. Amen. You can be seated this morning. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse number 1 and 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Verse number 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. There's a lot of benefits to being saved. Can I get a witness right there? I love being a child of God. I love being saved. The greatest thing ever happened to me or happened to you in life was the day that we received Jesus Christ into our lives and became saved by the good grace of God. I love being saved. And the devil wants to try to defeat all of us and get us. If he can't keep you from getting saved, he will try to keep you from enjoying being saved. And God is a good God, and God gives us many benefits that come with salvation. You say, what are some of those benefits? Well, all my sins have been forgiven and are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thankful that God forgave me of everything that I'd ever done. All 29 years of my sinful past was placed under the blood of Jesus Christ. There's another benefit to being saved, and that's called eternal life. I believe in that once we're saved, we're always saved all through eternity. Amen. I don't believe a person can lose it because salvation is by the good grace of God. We ought to all be shouting this morning and thanking God for eternal life. I tell you another thing that is a benefit of being saved. I'm not going to hell. Don't get excited about that. I mean, we deserve to go to hell, but none of us that are saved are ever going to taste the flames of hell. We are not going to hell. Hallelujah. That's a benefit of being saved. Amen. I'm not going to hell. I tell you another benefit of being saved, going to heaven. Amen. It was a little while before that thought ever got a hold of my heart after I got saved. I was just so glad that I wasn't going to hell. I was shouting because I wasn't going to hell. And then one morning the choir got up at the church I got saved in and they began singing about going to heaven. And the thought crossed my heart, well, I'm not going to hell, but I am going to heaven. And I got to shouting about that. That's a benefit of being saved by the grace of God. I mean, there are many benefits to being a child of God. Can I get a witness right there? But one of the greatest benefits of being saved by the good grace of God is that the Bible declares that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I mean, that means every battle that you face, there is victory for you. Well, it got mighty quiet right there. Every battle, and by the way, there's one enemy in this passage that is a giant, and his name is Goliath, a type of the devil. That enemy is an enemy to every one of us in this room. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, he is the enemy of all mankind. And thank God, he did not get me. Thank God, Jesus rescued me from the hands of the devil. But there's also enemies in this passage. And we all face enemies. We all have those things that come into our lives that want to defeat us, that want to bring us down, that want to conquer us. But I'm glad to be able to report to you that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And we are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. If God be for us, who can be against us? Don't get happy about being victorious. Don't get excited about the fact that God has placed you on victory ground. It's a good thing to know that God is for us. Amen. Well, in our passage that we've read this morning, years ago I made a little note out there beside a couple of verses in my Bible. And I never really thought about it, never pursued it until I heard a preacher say something one day. And when he made that statement, it got to occurring to me the answer to that question. Now, I want to draw it out for you. On one side is the giant and all of his armies, the enemies of God. There's a valley down there, and there's a little brook that flows through that valley. Up on the other side is all the people of God. And the giant comes out and he starts defying the armies of the living God. He begins just telling them, I challenge you, I dare you, let there come a man down to me. Now, I want to ask you something. They were soldiers. Why didn't the Philistines and that giant just go over that little brook, through that valley, climb that hill, and whoop the children of God? Why didn't they go over there and whip them? They saw in their eyes that they were afraid. That giant standing up there, some commentators have said that he was over 9 feet tall. I don't know about all of that, but there he was defying the armies of the living God. And all the armies of the God's people were scared and afraid of this giant. Well, why didn't the giant and all of his armies just come over and whoop him? Well, I want to give you from this text that we've read this morning and some other verses to go along with it. I'm going to tell you three reasons why we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now, there's some words that I want to point out to you before we get into the outline of the message this morning. There's that little word. It says they came between shoko. You know what that word means? It means entwined. It means that they were entwined like an ivy all around them. And then there was another place called Azeka. It means to completely surround. In other words, that army of the enemy, they had them entwined. They had them surrounded. And there's going to be times in our Christian life that we feel like on every side that there's nothing but someone against us or something against us. On every side, it seems like there's nothing but trouble and an entwining. And that's just the way the Christian life goes at times. It seems like the enemy has us surrounded. Amen. But there's another little word in our text, and it's that little word Elah. And in that valley was a little tree called Elah, a little place called Elah. It means a strong tree. But there's another word, and this is what I'm going to use for my first point, first thought. There's that word Ephesdamum. In the Hebrew, you look that up, and this is what it means. It literally means this. It means the boundary of the blood. Some of you that know how to operate them kind of things, a lexicon or whatever it is, you look it up. It means the boundary of the blood. Now let me explain it to you, what I found out, what that preacher said. Down there in that valley was a little brook that flowed in that valley. And it said that there had been so many battles fought in that thing that the Philistines had lost so many battles and so many men that the water of that little brook actually turned red from the blood that flowed down that little brook. And they were superstitious. They would not cross that little old brook. They would not come across that little red bloody brook and come over there to where the people of God was. In other words, point number one, there was an unseen boundary that separated between the enemies of God and the people of God. And you know what that represents? That represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just a boundary that the devil will not cross. There's just a line that he will not go over. And it's called the blood of Jesus Christ. You know why I'm still standing here? It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You know why we're still saved? It's because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say thank God for the blood of Jesus, the unseen boundary. Those Philistines would not cross that boundary and come over there where the people of God were. Matter of fact, if the devil went over that little bloodline, he'd be a saved devil, and he's not going to cross it. Amen. I'm glad to be able to tell all of you today that the blood of Jesus Christ is protecting us as we sit in this room. Or you might have got up this morning and you don't even feel saved. You might have got up this morning and you don't even feel right with God. But there's an unseen boundary that covers your soul, and it's called the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank God for that special protecting blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, you all know the story. We've been studying on it on Wednesday nights. How the people of God was in Egypt. And God meant to deliver them out of Egypt. He told Moses. He said, Moses, tell all the people to take them a little lamb and slay that lamb and catch the blood in a basin. And he said, take some hyssop and dip that hyssop in that bloody basin. And then take that blood and apply it over the lintel and over to the side post of every home. And whenever they did that, God promised them. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know what's protecting us this morning? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That unseen boundary that the devil will never cross. And I thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. There's just not enough preaching about the blood anymore. They've taken it out of hymnals. They say we don't like that bloody religion. Well, except for the shedding of blood, there is no remission for you and I. Jesus shed His blood so that you and I could be saved by the good grace of God. And by the way, if the blood's not been applied to your life, you are not saved. Amen. It takes the blood of Jesus to save you. Amen. That unseen boundary, Ephesdamum. I preached this message one time years ago. I think it was 09 that God gave me this message. And Brother Edward Dixon had asked me to come and preach for him. He was having every month they would have a special preacher come in. And it was just men, he said, that meant something to him, that had been friends to him down through the years. So he had me to come in one Sunday night. Me and Deb went. And God put it on my heart to preach this message. Over to one side, there was a little row of chairs, and there was a couple of men sitting over there to one side. And I began preaching this message, and I got to preaching about the blood. And one man, he got up out of his chair, and he started shouting. He started praising God. I didn't know who he was at the time. He got up and he started running around the building. He took a couple of laps around every pew. He ran out the back door. And in a little few minutes, he came busting through the back door again. And he was still praising God. He come up there to the platform. And he was a shouting and praising God. And they've got a wall right here on either side of the pulpit. And before he knew it, he put his whole fist through the wall and knocked a big old hole in the wall. And I mean, he felt so bad about that, but he was just happy that God had saved him and cleansed him in the precious blood. Hey, we forget what it took for Jesus to save us. It took his precious blood that he shed from his veins that we might be sitting here this morning saved by the good grace of God. I say hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. They got that wall fixed, and then I found out the story. His name is John Lynch. He came to our camp meeting one year. John Lynch was on a deathbed. And I believe the story goes, his brother, his own flesh and blood brother, gave him his own blood so that he might live. And without that blood transfusion, John Lynch would not even been saved. He'd been in hell, and that's why he gets so excited. Anytime somebody preaches about the blood, it just gets all over him, because not only was he saved by the blood of his brother, he was saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to get across to us all this morning that it took the blood, the holy, precious blood of Jesus Christ to save you this morning. Took that blood, the unseen boundary. Is the reason that we're more than conquerors. You know why the devil don't just come into your little field and plow you over? It's because of that unseen boundary, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what? I got to thinking about the blood one time. And I just had this passing thought. It was when I still lived down in Waycross. And we got skeeters. We got gnats as big as skeeters and skeeters as big as buzzards. And there was an old skeeter lit on my arm one day and bit me. And when he got through, pulled that old proboscis out of me, I looked there and there was a little drawing of blood come out my arm. And I couldn't help it. I just had this thought. I got to thinking about Jesus walking around. I wondered if they had mosquitoes back then. And I got to thinking, well, if a mosquito bit Jesus and got hold of his blood, that mosquito is still alive. And you know what he's singing? There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. You know why? Because that's eternal blood. It is powerful blood. It's what washed all your sins away. That powerful blood of Jesus Christ, the unseen boundary. But number two, another reason why we are more than conquerors through him that loved us is because of that unflinching son. The Bible starts in 1 Samuel 17 with the word now. And then in verse 12 it says, now, David. For every now that the devil's got in your life, God's got a now coming your way. And David was just a little boy. He was just a little ruddy youth. But I'm going to give you some typology about this boy. He was, number one, was sent by his father. He was sent by his father. You read over there in the verses to follow. It said that his daddy told him to go down there and see how the war was going and how his brothers were faring out. And he was sent by his father. Old Brother Ben was preaching Friday night. He was preaching about John 3:16, and he told about those words and broke it down. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And you know what? God sent his darling son to die for you and to die for me. And had it not been for what God sent, we would not be saved. We're saved by Jesus this morning. The unflinching Son, sent by the Father, then he submitted to his Father's will. David said, "Yes, sir, I'll go." He left those little sheep in the pasture, and he went down there to do the will of his Father. Now, can I say this? That Jesus willingly, he was not a martyr. He was not made to go to the cross, but he willingly went there for you. And went there for me. He knew what it was going to cost him. He got down there in that garden. Boy, he took his disciples in there. He left about 9 of them right here. And he took 3 of them a few steps further with him. And he looked at those 3 and he said, "Now listen, I want you to watch him pray. Watch him pray." And it said that he stepped away from them about a stone's cast. And he knelt down and he got to praying. And it said that he prayed and he was in much agony. And his sweat became, as it were, drops of blood. That's a medical phenomenon. Were you in such agony that the sweat, the pores open up and the sweat literally comes out of your forebrow and it mixes with that water, that sweat, and it starts dripping. His blood started flowing that day when he said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." When he came out of that garden, he walked out a victor over Satan, and I'm glad he won the battle. Thank God for the Son that was unflinching. The unflinching Son. The unseen boundary is why we are more than conquerors. He was sent by the Father. He submitted to the Father. But he was scorned by his brethren. His elder brother said, "What is this thing that you're doing?" He said, "I know your pride and your haughtiness. You're just doing this so everybody will see you." You know, when Jesus was here on earth, it said about Jesus, said that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. It said that he came into this world and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. And the world today still don't know who this wonderful Savior is. They still not aware of all that Jesus can benefit them in life. And it said that they hated him without a cause and sent him to the cross of Calvary. And Jesus went there, and he went of his own will, his own volition. You know, he volunteered and said, "I'll go." I remember Brother Gary Feeks used to say Jesus was the first volunteer. You know, he's hung up on all them Tennessee volunteers. That unflinching Son. He was scorned by his brethren, but he saw the need. He looked at them and he said, "I want to know something. Is there not a cause?" I looked up that little word one day on my Bible study program. When David said, "Is there not a cause?" It's just one little word in the Hebrew. But it's so much contained in that one little word. When he said, "Is there not a cause?" he said a mouthful. He said, "Is there not something to conquer? Is there not business to take care of? Is there not a concern at hand? Is there not a duty? Is there not a commandment? Is there not an errand? Is there not a glory to be defended? Is there not enough hurt? Has there not been enough harm? Has there not been enough lying? Is there not a promise, a purpose, and a provision? Is there not a reply from anybody? Is there not a word of tidings? Is there not something that needs to be declared?" When David said, "Is there not a cause?" He was showing us what Jesus felt when he went to the cross of Calvary. He looked at you. He said, "There's been enough hurt, enough harm done in your life. The devil has lied to you too much. The devil has whispered in your ear and told you that there's no that there's nothing any better for you. And Jesus went to the cross to conquer the devil for you and I. Thank God. I still hear his voice every once in a while. The devil, he's not in hell yet. He's still going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's knocking children of God off one by one. He roars! But I'm going to tell you something. In between me and his roar stands the Son of God. And his roars are filtered by the Son. The devil can't get no more of me than God lets him have. They diagnosed me with multiple sclerosis. I just resigned my church and all that happened in my life. And they diagnosed me with multiple sclerosis. And to be honest with you, my world was just in a whirlwind. I didn't know what was going to happen. Didn't know what was going to be the outcome. But little did I know that Jesus only let the devil have just a part of me so he could have more of me. I want to tell you something. I studied. Suffering has always been something that I just study in the Word of God. I don't know why. It was just something. I've got a whole series of messages that I preach on Christian suffering. And if we don't understand suffering in the Christian life, the devil will overtake us in our sufferings. He told us that we need to suffer as a Christian. And there's a way that a Christian suffers that the people of the world don't have access to. Matter of fact, Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 says this, "And is given unto you on the behalf of Jesus Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." We're called to suffer. Little did I know that God was bringing something into my life that was going to produce something greater. Little did I know that he was just letting the devil. And I was reading a book one time. And it was on suffering. It was written by F.B. Meyer. And I read a statement in there that just helped me over my little bit of what I was going through. And it was this statement. He said, "Child of God, always remember, before whatever you're going through ever touched you, it touched the heart of God. And then he allowed it as a gift into your life. Because God works all things together for the good. Everything that we face or could ever happen to us, it's been filtered by the Son. Not only is his roarings filtered by the Son, but his rants are frustrated by the Son. Sometimes he roars and sometimes he just gets in heaven and rants. Says that he's the accuser of the brethren. He must be a Baptist. The devil's got to be a Baptist. It says that he accuses you and I before God day and night. Can you imagine how miserable he must be? All he's ever doing is talking about mine and your sins. And we give him plenty to talk about. Can I get a witness right there? And all he does is just rant and rave. Did you see him do this? Did you see him do that? Did you see what they did? And he can rightfully accuse. But then when he says it to God, now he says it to one of us about somebody else, we may take it and get on the phone with it and say, "Did you hear? Did you know?" But when he goes to God with it, and said, "Did you hear? Did you know?" God says, "What sins are you talking about?" All I see is the blood. Amen. Oh, my, I could stay right there till tomorrow. The Son, that unflinching Son, sent by the Father. He submitted to the Father, scorned by His brethren. He saw the need. He stepped in between. Which leads me to my last thought of why we are more than conquerors. Why are you still sitting here, Brother Terry? But Scott, why are we still sitting here? Is it because we're great prayer warriors? Is it because I preached a message one time and I preached the glory down? Are we still in this thing because, oh man, I'm faithful to church. I go every time the doors open. No, we're more than conquerors. It's all because of Him that gave us the victory in Jesus Christ. That unseen boundary that flows in that valley. That unflinching Son. But lastly, my third thought, that unusual weapon that David had. He went to King Saul. He said, Saul, don't you worry. I'll take care of this giant. And King Saul said, look, you're just a ruddy youth. You can't. This guy's been a man of war from his youth. He's grown now. You can't take. You're just a little kid in this thing. I'm glad to know that the youngest of any child of God's got victory over the devil. He said, you can't go against this giant. And he tries to give him his own armor. David puts it on. It's a little too big for him. He puts it off. He said, I've not proved them. I can't use those. And he goes, and guess where he goes? To that little bloody brook. Reaches down in there. And for him to get to the stones, he had to bow down to get them. We'll never defeat our enemy with our pride. He had to bow down and reach in that bloody brook. And he brought out five smooth stones. Smooth means they'd been there a long time and that water passed over. Many a trickle of water passed over and smoothed those stones out. And stones, they meant that they were fit for the job. And it says, he put them five smooth stones in a script in his shepherd's bag. But the sling was in his hand. When I first started preparing this message, Brother Scott, I couldn't help but to think about Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. And I went over there and I hurriedly counted through them pieces of armor that God has given us to stand against the wiles of the devil and having done all to stand. And I quickly counted, and I've counted five pieces of armor. And God says, slow down, count again. And I counted, and there was six. I said, Lord, why'd you even show me this? This ain't matching up, six pieces of armor, five smooth stones. He said, count over there in the Old Testament again. Five smooth stones, and the sling was in his hand. You know what we have that's unusual against the devil? The Word of God. He cannot stand against the Word of God. You know what the devil did in the days of Jesus? He tempted Jesus. And every time Jesus defeated him with the Word of God, quoted it to him. You need to learn how to quote Scripture sometimes. Well, you read the text. It said that old giant come out there and he defied him. He said, I'm Goliath. I'm the giant. Who are you? And David says, you come to us with swords and shields, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. And he said, he will fight for us and you'll be dead today. He said, matter of fact, I'm going to take your head off of your shoulders. And he did. And I read that text, and I heard Brother Harry Nix preach this one time, and I got it from him. Said that when David saw the giant, Now, this is what your Bible says he did. It said when he saw him, said he ran. He hasted. He ran straight toward the devil. And he was taking that sling and he was slinging. Oh, Brother Harry said he slung it three times. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. And he let that stone sling. And it said it smacked the giant right between the eyes in his forehead. Boom! And you know, this is what Brother Harris said. The text says that the giant fell forward, face forward. Boom! You hit somebody from the head, he's going to fall backwards. But he fell forward. Now, Brother Harris said this. He said, I tell you what happened. He said, David hit him with that stone, boom, in the forehead, and he started toppling back, and God hit him from the back, knocked him forward. I thought, man, that's good preaching. I'm going to try that out. I preached it here. But then I was studying yesterday, and God gave me this. And I believe I'm being scriptural. He said, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Is that what the Bible says? I believe David went running. He was resisting. He was not going to let the devil have 1 ounce of ground in his life. And he was slinging that sling. He let that stone go. That stone caught him right there. He turned around to start running because he saw that David meant business. And he turned around to start running. And then he fell face forward. He was gone. Three reasons why we're more than conquerors. That unseen boundary. That unflinching son. And that unusual weapon that David had in his hand. Child of God, I don't know what you might be going through. I don't know what you may be facing in your life. But you're not going to win that battle without Jesus Christ. The devil will run over you every time. He'll run over your personal life. He'll run over your marriage. He'll run over your home. He'll run over your children. He'll run over everything in your life without Jesus Christ. But with Jesus, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? I just believe this. I believe more Christians need to get on victory ground. We talk so much defeat nowadays. We're just defeated before we even get started. There's no way that we can't do that. You're right. There is no way that we can do it. But in Christ Jesus, there's victory. Can I get just one witness right there? Amen. Sis, you come to the piano, just play us something real soft. We won't sing anything, Brother Terry. She's coming to the piano to get her a song together. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed.